Ohio.gov/evaluation.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loride. Coming up today, we're going to open up the phone lines and talk about some of the big issues in the news. And we'll see where this discussion goes. There's a lot going on, as you know. We heard some of the big stories there on the NPR News just a moment ago. And one of the big stories is the White House is invoking executive privilege, reserving the right to block the full release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on the Russia probe, escalating President Trump's battle with Congress. The administration's decision was announced just as the House Judiciary Committee this morning was gaveling into order to consider holding Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress over failure to release the report. The committee chairman, Gerald Nadler of New York, declared the action by Trump's Justice Department was a clear new sign of the president's blanket defiance of Congress's constitutional rights. Nadler said, "Every day we learn of new efforts by this administration to stonewall Congress. This is unprecedented," said Nadler. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said the action was rather a response to the blatant abuse of power by Democrat Congressman Nadler. Sanders said neither the White House nor the Attorney General will comply with Chairman Nadler's unlawful and reckless demands. Nadler said earlier today that the Trump administration's refusal to provide Special Counsel Robert Mueller's full Russia report to Congress presents a constitutional crisis, leaving the panel no choice but to move forward with a contempt vote against Barr. So we could talk about that. Do you think the Trump administration is right to withhold the report, or should it release the unredacted report to Congress? What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. We could talk about that. You can also email your comments into the studio here. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. Well, residents in parts of the Florida panhandle that were devastated by Hurricane Michael hope President Trump gets a glimpse of their continued suffering when he arrives for a campaign rally later today. Thousands of homes and businesses in the panhandle are still damaged, and many people are living in campers or tents. Some are awaiting home repairs, while others say they can't find affordable housing. One woman living in a camper told the Associated Press that Trump should take care of his own before worrying about building a wall on the Mexican border. The president will arrive in the panhandle tonight. He's planning a campaign rally in Panama City Beach, which escaped the worst damage. Nearby Panama City and Mexico Beach were smashed by that Hurricane Michael last year, and they still have not fully recovered. So we could talk about that, too. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Drivers for ride-hailing giants Uber and Lyft are going on strike this morning, planning to turn off their apps to protest what they say are declining wages at a time when both companies are raking in billions of dollars from investors. Organizers were planning demonstrations in 10 U.S. cities today, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. They've timed their protests in advance of Uber's initial public stock offering, which is planned for Friday. Uber aims to raise $9 billion from investors during that offering. Well, there was another school shooting, this one out west. Authorities in Colorado say two students allegedly shot classmates at their charter school, killing one and injuring eight others. This took place in Douglas County. They identified one suspect as 18-year-old Devin Erickson. They say Erickson and a younger student walked onto the STEM school Highlands Ranch yesterday afternoon and opened fire. U.S. health officials say more moms are dying from pregnancy-related causes, and the biggest risk factor is being Black or Native American. More than half of these deaths are preventable, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They released the report yesterday. New guidelines from an obstetricians group call for more heart risk checks for women before and after birth. So pregnancy deaths, pregnancy-related deaths, up in the U.S. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. And China says the U.S. has further aggravated tensions over the Iran nuclear issue. China's foreign ministry spokesperson said today that China calls on all parties concerned to exercise restraint and avoid escalating tensions. Comments came after President Trump moved to deploy an aircraft carrier and a bomber wing to confront unspecified threats from Tehran. Iran said today it will resume higher enrichment of uranium in 60 days if world powers fail to negotiate new terms for the 2015 nuclear deal. A key Iranian ally and trading partner, China, was a signatory to the deal and continues to support the Iran nuclear deal. So do Britain, Russia, the European Union, France, and Germany. That's one of the places I want to start and play some sound on. This is from an interview that Colonel Larry Wilkerson did a few days ago with the Real News Network, and it was about the prospects for war with Iran. What do you think about the sending of the aircraft carrier over through to near Iran? What do you think about that? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. We're going to listen to the former aide to Colin Powell, Colonel Larry Wilkerson, talk about the prospects for war with Iran. And I want to get your take on this. You can call us up at 813-239-9663. Here's the interview that Larry Wilkerson did 3 weeks ago.
It's the Real News Network, and I'm Greg Wilpert in Baltimore. Last week, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo suggested that to Congress that the Trump administration would not rule out going to war with Iran, even when there is no explicit authorization from Congress to do so. Pompeo said this in the context of being asked whether the 2001 Authorization to Use Military Force, or AUMF, could be used to attack Iran on the basis that Iran supported the 9/11 attacks and is connected to Al-Qaeda, which carried out the 9/11 attack. Here's a clip of the exchange between Senator Rand Paul and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Do you believe that the 2001 authorization to go to war with those who attacked us on 9/11 applies to Iran or Iran's Revolutionary Guard?
I'd prefer to just leave that to lawyers, Senator.
You're unwilling to state unequivocally that that the resolution in 2001 to have retribution and stop people who attacked us, that Iran had something to do with the attacks on 9/11?
You asked a factual question and a legal question there. The legal question I will leave to counsel. The factual question with respect to Iran's connections to Al-Qaeda is very real. They have hosted Al-Qaeda. They permitted Al-Qaeda to transit their country. There's no doubt there is a connection between the Islamic Republic of Iran and Al-Qaeda.
And then on Monday, the Trump administration's decision to designate the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps as a foreign terrorist organization went into effect. This is the first time that a governmental organization has been designated as a foreign terrorist organization. Joining me now to discuss these developments with regard to U.S.-Iranian relations is Colonel Larry Wilkerson. He's a retired U.S. colonel and former chief of staff to Secretary of State Colin Powell. He's now a distinguished professor at the College of William and Mary. Thanks for joining us again, Larry.
Thanks for having me.
So what do you think about Pompeo's claim that Iran is connected to Al-Qaeda? Is there any basis for this claim as far as you know?
As far as I know, and my experience as well as my research over the last 15 years in academia leads me to believe this is true, there's almost no contact. There have been transits. There have been criminal transits of Iran, and Iran generally tries to block those transits, but like the United States and any other country in the world today, it's impossible to block everyone. And there have been times where Al-Qaeda might have made overtures to the Iranian government or to parts of that government like the Quds Force or IRGC, but they've always been rebuffed. And all we had to do was watch Iran's fierce attacks on the terrorist groups in Syria and understand how Iran itself has been attacked by terrorist groups, often supported money-wise by Mohammed bin Salman from Riyadh, of course, and others like the Pakistani ISI and so forth, how Iran has responded to those attacks, fearing that its entire society will be disrupted by them, let alone the casualties that they produce. So Iran has been a receptor, if you will, of terrorist attacks, just like the United States, Europe, and other places have been. So Iran is not a sponsor of terrorism. With respect to Hezbollah, we understand why Iran backs and supports Hezbollah. It's the only weapon that the region offers to counter Israel's massive modern military arm. Iran doesn't have an arm like that. Lebanon doesn't have an arm like that. So to say that Iran sponsors terrorism of any sort, let alone al-Qaeda, is just preposterous. The greatest state sponsor of terrorism in the region and indeed in the world is Saudi Arabia, our ally.
Now, the other notable part of this exchange between Senator Rand Paul and Secretary Pompeo was that Paul tried to get to Pompeo to talk about the 2001 AUMF. Pompeo, though, only said that he'd leave it up to the lawyers whether applying the AUMF to Iran is legal. But it's not really clear whether he means that he would wait for such a determination, that is a legal determination, after an attack on Iran, or if it would be made beforehand and perhaps prevent an attack. What do you think? Is the administration getting ready to apply the 2001 AUMF on Iran?
To me, this is, as I think it was Yogi Berra said, deja vu all over again. I'm looking at the same kind of trail, as it were, that happened just prior to the invasion of Iraq in 2003, and the same characters, with a few new additions, actually laying that trail down. Designation of the IRGC and the Quds Force wholesalely as a appurtenance of Iranian government as a foreign terrorist organization, and now this business of connecting Tehran with al-Qaeda, just like George Tenet and John McLaughlin did in the CIA with Colin Powell before he gave his presentation at the UN, which we now know was a total lie, up to this AUMF provides authorization. All of these are building blocks, and I think the AUMF is the last building block in setting the stage for a war with Iran, for the use of military force against Iran. This is preposterous. The AUMF that was issued by the Congress post 9/11 was aimed at those who perpetrated 9/11. Risibly here, laughably here, preposterously here. Saudi Arabia provided 15 of those terrorists. The UAE, the Saudi most staunch Saudi ally right now with MBZ in its leadership role, provided two or three of the others. So we're looking at the main element that attacked the United States on September the 11th, 2001, having come from Saudi citizenry, accompanied by UAE citizenry. And now we're looking at Iran as applicable under this AUMF. This shows how far we have come from the rule of law, from wise thinking, from decent strategy, from doing the kinds of things that the law and our national security interests would demand that we do. We are actually acting now under President Trump, and God knows if he knows what's happening, because most of this is being orchestrated by John Bolton, the National Security Advisor. We're operating in a way that's inimical to, injurious to, U.S. national security interests, and ultimately to the interest of the long-term interests of Israel in the region. So this is to watch this as an academic, and to watch it even more so, more profoundly as a military professional, is really jarring. This is truly stupid.
So how serious do you see the preparations, that is, in terms of the likelihood that the U.S. would attack Iran sometime before the 2020 presidential election, given that all of this groundwork is being laid with the terrorism designation for Iran's Revolutionary Guard and the claim of connections between Iran and al-Qaeda? I mean, wouldn't something else have to happen in order for an attack to happen, or is this good enough?
Not necessarily with this administration. I would have thought the same thing in January of 2003, and then what, 2-3 months later, we were at war with Iraq, one of the most catastrophic strategic decisions the United States has ever made. I take your point, though, that maybe there are some people out there, and even more so, more important, there are people in the Congress who realize that the same set of circumstances is unfolding with many of the same players yet again. I have to cross my fingers and hope that what's happening here, even though I don't think John Bolton and those like him want this, they actually want force to be used and the regime to be unseated. But I think what is happening, at least in Trump's mind, is that, and after all, he's the president, is that what we're doing is bringing maximum leverage on Tehran. So that's why you have this argument right now between Pompeo and his people on the one hand, and Bolton and his people on the other, as to whether or not to tighten the sanctions to the point of zero. That is to say, to keep Iran from selling any oil, even under the waivers that Trump has been granting to countries like China and India. Kill those waivers, Bolton and his people say. Kill them. Don't let Iran sell a single barrel of oil. That way we'll choke them. The regime will fall, or it'll be easy to beat militarily. Now, on the other hand, Pompeo and his team are saying, don't do that because we don't want to take it to that point. So we've got that battle going on within the administration. But I think what this shows is that President Trump wants the tension, the pressure on Iran to bring Iran back to the negotiating table so he can claim just prior to the 2020 elections that he's done the impossible. He's brought Iran back to the table and we're negotiating again, and that the deal he will produce will be much better than the deal President Obama produced under the JCPOA. I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that that's the case, and that at the end of the day, if none of this happens, that we won't go to war. But I can't bet on that because the president has the most mercurial temperament I've ever seen of anyone at this level of power. And so anything's possible.
One last point, though. I mean, don't you think that the role of the Europeans would play a role, would be important here? Because, I mean, after all, they're opposed to breaking up the JCPOA, the agreement on the nuclear energy for Iran. And when we went up to the Iraq War, they were actually instrumental in participating, the Bush administration at the time, at least some countries were. Whereas now, it seems like the U.S. has no allies in its effort to oust the Iranian government. So don't you think that that might still be a factor in holding the U.S. back from war?
It should be. And normally and naturally it would be. But remember, even with my administration, George W. Bush, we had a coalition of the willing, as Donald Rumsfeld called it. And that coalition only included substantially the United Kingdom. Germany was vehemently opposed. Chirac and Dominique de Villepin, the foreign minister of France, were just as vehemently opposed. So that didn't stop George Bush. And I don't think this administration, given its policy towards the Europeans to this point, which has been just well-nigh disastrous, and its policy in particular towards the most powerful member of Europe, Germany, I don't think it would stop this administration for a moment. And I know for darn sure it wouldn't stop John Bolton. John Bolton doesn't think allies are even necessary, doesn't want allies. So I take your point, but I don't think that would impede this administration. I still fall back on my original hope that what Trump is after here is the same thing he was after with Kim Jong-un. Call him Rocket Man, threaten him, tell him that you're going to destroy him, your button's bigger than his button, and all that kind of stuff, and then negotiate with him. I think that's what Trump wants to do with Iran, too. Don't think it's going to happen because the Iranians are not going to come back to the negotiating table. But I think that's what he wants.
All right. Okay, well, we're going to leave it there for now. I'm speaking to Colonel Larry Wilkerson, professor at the College of William and Mary. Thanks again, Larry, for having joined us today.
Thanks. Take care.
And thank you for joining the Real News Network.
And you can see that interview on the Real News Network website. That was Colonel Larry Wilkerson being interviewed just a few days ago by Greg Wilperton about the prospects for war with Iran. And do you think that the U.S. is getting in the position to go to war with Iran, or do you think that it's just putting pressure on Iran? What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Some emails have come in. Adam writes regarding the White House invoking executive privilege, reserving the right to block the full release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on the Russia probe, escalating the battle with Congress. Adam writes this, I'd like to hear from some Trump supporters about why Trump is blocking witnesses from testifying and refusing to let Congress see the full report when he's claiming it fully exonerates him. It's just nonsense. It helps if it helped him. He would be tweeting out sections of the Mueller report daily and begging for witnesses to testify, writes Adam. Well, what do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. So do you think the U.S. is on the verge of going to war with Iran? U.S. aircraft carrier is over there. We've sent bombers to the region, not too far away from Iran. And let's go to Gina in Tampa. Gina, you're on. What would you like to say?
Well, no, I don't. I don't think that we're poised to go to war. I mean, we're making all kinds of military noises and sending the carrier over there. But I think that it's all pressure to get around to the table and vice versa. But I also want to say this. This is the main thing I want to say. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard, that is a terrorist organization. I mean, people need to know that, that no sooner than our terrorists, I mean our hostages from Iran, no sooner than they were sent from Tehran back to this country in 1980, then the Revolutionary Guard was setting up Hezbollah. They named it, they set it up, they recruited in Lebanon for it, they trained Hezbollah, and those folks are responsible for the bombing in Lebanon of our embassy and our military barracks, the Marines barracks. At that point, they were the that was the highest casualty count of a terrorist attack. They also kidnapped CIA Station Chief William Buckley and tortured him to death. I mean, they tortured him unmercifully. So we need to just make sure that we know what the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is, that we're not just, you know, saying, oh, those poor Iranian people. And the Revolutionary Guard, they're the ones that are basically running the country. So it's not, you know, it's not just, you know, religious leaders. And I mean, there's
and is it is that an argument for going to war with Iran?
No, I think that, that what is happening now, all the noises and all the positioning is to each party getting themselves into a better position to negotiate. I think what will come out of it is a deal that Trump can say, oh, this is my deal with the nuclear thing, instead of saying we're abiding by Obama's deal. I think what Trump is in situations like this, I think he'll back down and he will eventually come up with a deal, probably the same.
So you think Trump has an overall plan? You think that President Trump has an overall strategy when he blusters like this?
Strategy in the sense that I think he has an idea of what he would like to happen, but it's not a strategy in what you would expect from someone who's a little smarter. He goes by his gut, and that's not always a good thing. But in this case, you know, he does have professionals, well, what you want to call Bolton, you know, Bolton that. And
yeah, and would you call Bolton and Pompeo people that you can trust?
They are hawkish. They are definitely to the hawkish side, but I don't think that we are going to end up in a hot war with Iran. I think they're going to end up with
Gina, let's see. Let's see what happens.
Just one last thing. Just one last thing. I think that if Trump had nothing to hide, he would release the unredacted report. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks, Gina. All right, there you got Gina's opinion. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gerald in Lake Wales. Gerald, you're on. You want to talk about that Larry Wilkerson interview?
Well, we could talk about that, but certainly seems that the more things change, the more they remain the same.
Gerald, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's just Wilkerson mentioned the Saudis, and of course, a lot of the Saudi Arabians left the country the next day, and then we, of course, had the horrible Iraq war, and we've got a lot of veterans that are committing suicide and having a lot of medical problems that they don't seem to learn their lesson in Washington, because as I said, the more things change, the more they remain the same.
Well, our last caller, Gina, was not too worried about a war with Iran. Do you think that the U.S. is taking steps to prepare for war with Iran?
Well, what they're doing is putting a squeeze on Iran, because that's what the Saudis want us to do. They're enemies with Iran, and they're using the United States to squeeze them. The thing with the oil, they have to sell the oil to China and India, and that's precarious in and of itself. So I'll be interested to see what is going to go on there, but they have two big customers, and they have to sell it to them. So there's a situation right there that is quite volatile, and nobody can really figure it out. It's just something that you have to watch.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Gerald, for your call. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. There's some interesting headlines, and if you go to some like a mainstream publication like Foreign Policy, their headline today about the prospects for war with Iran, their headline says this: Trump's Iran policy is becoming dangerous. Growing evidence suggests the U.S. president is traveling a path toward war, whether he knows it or not. That's the front page of Foreign Policy magazine. You can find that on the web. Just do a search. And lots of people writing in Israel. Haaretz has an article today saying how the war between America and Iran will start. So there are growing fears around the country, around the world, rather, that this is where we're headed. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Frank Knox is our phone producer today. Let's go to Matt, who's in Odessa. Hi, Matt. You're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Hey, I was planning. I've been saying this for about 6 months, because didn't George Bush do this, if I remember correctly, when getting near the election, how he ramped up the threat of war, because that's the easiest way to get people to line up behind you, because they always say you don't want to change horses in the middle of the stream. And I think that Trump is going to do the same thing. He's laying the groundwork to put up a fake war with Iran so that he will be able to win the election on 2020, because he's so ruthless that he told Leslie Stahl that the reason he's going to badmouth and call everything fake news is because you're going to say some really bad things about me in the next 2 years. Because he knew all those his malfeasance was going to come to the front, so he laid the OJ defense that, oh, everything is wrong with the police, everything's wrong with this, to cover his lies. So if he's that ruthless, he's going to easily line up a fake war with Iran to get those few percentage points he needs to get it back in office.
Yeah, going back to 2002, which was an off-year election for mainly for members of Congress and the Senate, the war drums began to be pounded, and you heard all sorts of things from the Bush administration back then saying that Iraq was developing weapons or had weapons, nuclear weapons. We didn't want the next explosion to be a mushroom cloud. All those famous sayings from 2002, 2003. And the country was so stirred up, then by March of 2003, we did invade Iraq, even though Iraq hadn't attacked us at all. And so, you know, it usually takes about, 6 months of heavy propaganda, and then you can whip the country into a frenzy.
Right, and he's so ruthless that he's willing to bring down the world, our national police force, using the OJ defense. When the OJ defense is, when you have no evidence, your only option is to badmouth the police. And same with Trump. His only option is to badmouth the FBI and the Justice Department, because he has no defense for all of his malfeasance.
All right, Matt, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye.
All right, let's go to Ken in St. Petersburg. Ken, what would you like to say?
Hey, good morning, Rob. Great show, as always. I agree with this last caller, and that we are, unfortunately, looks like maybe headed to war in Iran. And quite possibly to get this man reelected, we need to get out of there. And it's crazy what he's trying to do. And John Bolton, I mean, he's a very educated man, but he doesn't care about anybody except power. And he'll do anything. They had that failed coup in Venezuela last week, which, typical of their competence up there at the top of our government, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, countries like Mexico and the Vatican are saying, when it comes to Venezuela, that there should be negotiations. Let's figure a negotiated way to settle that. And when the president sends over an aircraft carrier to near Iran, he's really threatening war. He's not suggesting, well, we're going to negotiate. There's no saying, hey, Iran, let's come to the table. Let's figure out our differences. So, every time the president acts, it seems like he tried to convince, or at least his proxy in Venezuela tried to convince the military to rise up in Venezuela. They weren't taking the bait. They didn't want to rise up against the country just yet. And
they started to, but they realized the lower ranking members of the military that did early that morning last week, they realized it was a setup, and they were, they were going to be scapegoats of the empire, so to speak, and they backed down, fortunately.
Yeah, and you need at least a sizable portion of the country willing to take a stand to try to overthrow the government. And that apparently, I mean, there certainly are a lot of angry people down in Venezuela. because there are electricity shortages, there are food shortages, there are medicine shortages. Some blame the U.S., some blame the current government, but nobody's, you know, people are certainly angry, but whether or not they want to throw out their government, it doesn't seem like it's risen that far yet.
Yeah, and, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot, how happy are we with who we have in the White House? Should we have an insurrection here, you know?
Yeah, that's what elections are for. Well, let's hope that they solve their problems in Venezuela. Ken, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good. All right, you too. 813-239-9663. Donald is in. Donald is out there listening online, and he says regarding the Mueller report. He says in the Daily Coast, they say that Mueller will leave the Department of Justice in the coming days, making him a private citizen, and then allowing him to testify before Congress. That's Donald's email. David writes this: I think that Bolton is a disaster, and I hate that he's such a war hawk. I think you've mentioned this before, but it appears that many Americans don't realize that Iran is a relatively progressive country with some thriving businesses and liberties allowed among its citizens. It would be a waste of money and lives to attack Iran, and I know who's really pushing for this. Rockwell Collins and the other big defense contractors, they are in the business of war. Sad, believe me, even Tony Stark had a change of heart on weapons of war, writes David. That's David's email. I was looking up the index of least free countries, and Saudi Arabia is way below Iran on some of the indexes of freedom in the country. There are nominally elections in Iran. Saudi Arabia doesn't have elections. Women have more rights in Iran than do women in Saudi Arabia. Neither country is perfect, obviously. 813-239-9663. Let's go to David in Clearwater. David, you're on M&F. What would you like to say?
I'd like to say that we need to go pick up a DVD by Bill Moyer, CBS, called Selling the War. If you want the game plan these guys are following.
All right. Was that about the Iraq War that he did?
Yeah. The Iraq War.
All right. Well, that's a good suggestion. Moyers is always great.
Did not do its job. It's very good.
All right. David, thanks a lot. Thanks for that suggestion.
Yep.
You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Looks like we still have that problem with line one. It's still kind of scratchy. I want to mention one more topic as we begin to take some more phone calls. The New York Times reported last night that Donald Trump's businesses lost more than $1 billion from 1985 to 1994 based on tax information that the newspaper acquired. Trump paid no taxes for 8 of those years from 1985 to 1994. Here's a report from the Associated Press.
After comparing Trump's tax information from 1985 to 1994 with that of other high-income earners, the Times says it appears Trump lost more money than nearly any other individual American taxpayer. The paper says it got printouts of the future president's tax transcripts for those years, which show his businesses lost more than $1 billion over the decade. The report says the losses meant Trump did not pay income taxes in 8 of the 10 years. Just this week, his Treasury Secretary refused a House panel's request to hand over the president's tax returns, which could lead to a legal fight. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Well, if you want to comment about that, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Back in 2016, I was standing in a crowd of people, mostly Trump supporters, but some Trump opponents, and this was before the November election, and I was asking some Trump supporters why they were voting for Donald Trump that year. And speaking of his business acumen, this is what the Trump supporters told me back in 2016.
Yes, I'm Linda McIntyre, and I'm a 40-year retired school teacher, and I was born the 4th of July. And Trump is everything we've needed in this place forever in our country. He's inspirational.
Who are you?
I'm Jeff Warden.
And Jeff and...
Linda McIntyre.
Linda, okay.
We just met.
Well, I mean, I was going to go inside, but, you know, I got her at 1 o'clock, but it was all maxed out. I couldn't get in.
Right. Linda, how about you?
What did you ask me? I'm sorry.
Why are you here today? What?
Because I want to stand up for what's right. He has nothing to gain by doing this. He's got everything he ever wanted in his life. A beautiful wife. His life is perfect. Why is he doing this? Because he cares truly about our country. country. And it doesn't take long, sir, to size someone up. He's genuine. He might come on a little strong sometimes, but he's really, he's a great man.
So what do you think about the charge that he's racist, that he's encouraging people to beat up protesters?
I think it's poppycock.
And why?
Why? Because it's like, if he was racist, I really don't think you'd have Ben Carson endorsing him.
He's not saying beat up on people. He's saying if someone assaults you or hits you, you have a right to defend yourself. That's all he's saying.
I mean, it's
what
like...
What is it with these people? Hatred, hate any living thing. I taught that. You can hate anything that's non-living, but you never hate anything living because you'll do things you'll regret. You'll spend the rest of your life in prison. And I taught that. I taught character and morals. And he's everything we need. He's a good man.
So, and what's the number one reason why you want to vote for him?
Because of... Because he's not an establishment candidate, and he wants to do something about immigration.
He knows how to get the job done. He already has done the ropes. He knows how to make our government successful, so give him a chance to do it. He knows exactly the right people, and he's got what it takes. He's already proven himself. What more do you need?
So, and
what do you have to lose?
How would you guys describe the state of the economy today? What do you think
disgusting.
I think it's pretty bad when 100 million people are out of work, and you got, I forget what Sean Hannity said, but a whole lot of people are on food stamps. I think that's pretty pathetic. I mean, you know.
China owns us. It's only a matter of time they're going to take over. We need to bring our jobs back. He knows exactly how to do it. Give him the 3 years. He will show you. In fact, I'm willing to bet dinner with anybody that wants to come up and bet me that if he doesn't do it within 3 years, I owe you dinner. And I mean it with all my heart.
So if China owns us. So what do you think about Donald Trump making his clothes in China?
He's only doing what any businessman had to do to succeed, because he had to play by the rules. He played by the business rules. So what he's going to do is change the rules, baby, of the game, and he's going to make it happen. Doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
Two Trump supporters in 2016 outside the Tampa Convention Center talking about the president's business acumen, saying that he has everything he wants. He knows how to get the job done. He's proven himself, and he'll bring jobs back. That was Linda McIntyre and Jeff Lorden. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Let's take some more phone calls talking about the prospects for war with Iraq. Also talking about the president's tax returns and a bunch of other items in the news. Let's go to John in St. Pete. Hey, John, you're on. What would you like to say?
A couple things. One, that fat orange guy in Washington, the only thing he knows about a coup is a two-door sedan with tuck and roll interior. And two, I think there's a possibility that he'll replace Penny with Cheney next year. What do you think?
Replace who with Cheney?
Pence.
Oh, Pence. Oh, I thought you said Penny. Okay. Replace Pence with Cheney. You know, I think Cheney's, Cheney must have nine lives. I knew a doctor who predicted about a decade ago that he was about to die because his heart was so bad. But Cheney's still alive. It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm first in line to piss on his grave, I'll tell you.
Well, don't say that. All right. John, thank you for your phone call. 813-239-9663. And let's go to Daryl in Tampa. Hi, Daryl, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Well, first, let me say a belated welcome back.
Sure, thank you.
Sure to miss you, but I just want to simply say, out of all the comments that I've made in the past and what's potentially going to happen, I hope we don't go to war in Iran, Venezuela. It seems like things never change and people never learn. I would suggest to all of the Trump supporters who have family in military, and those who are not Trump supporters who have family in the military, make sure you get a good, very good life insurance plan, especially the Trump supporters, when little Trista and Michael comes back home in a body bag, and you're crying hot tears over a cold grave and trying to convince yourself that they went and they died for freedom. You're going to believe that lie. You're going to try to believe that lie to give yourself solace and comfort. And then eventually is going to hit you. Why did my child have to die? For what? Over that. That's all I have to say, Rob.
All right, Daryl, thanks a lot. You know, Colonel Wilkerson was hoping that what the president is doing is just simply ratcheting up the pressure, not going to go to war. But then Wilkerson pointed out there's probably two streams of thought who have the president's ears. Mike Pompeo on the CIA side and John Bolton, a national security person. Bolton being more warlike or wanting the war more, according to Wilkerson. We'll see where it goes. Whether this is just simply ratcheting up pressure that so somehow Iran will change, or maybe I think the president thinks that there might be an internal revolution against the government in Iran. But at least what I've been reading the last 2 weeks shows that the people are pretty loyal to that government. We may not agree with so much religious influence on a government, but it looks like the people in Iran are pretty loyal to that government. They do have elections. Tony writes this, Trump is both ignorant and ruthless and cares about his own glory and money. The craven hypocrisy of the Republican Party, including our two U.S. Senators, Rubio and Scott, is over the top, writes Tony. He goes on to say, Republicans were against presidential power when Obama and Clinton were in office, and now they're all for executive privilege beyond anything yet seen in the U.S. The Republican Florida legislature just threw local environmental and human rights laws of relatively blue cities under the bus, too. When are the American sheeple going to wake up, writes Tony. That's Tony's email. Okay, 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Mark and Brandon says, just curious if Trump supporter Chuck will be calling in to brag about Trump's financial prowess today. Mark, thank you for that. And then Sue writes, hearing these people from 2016 is so depressing. I would like to talk to them now. Sue, thank you for your email. Let's go back to the phones. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. You are listening to WMNF in Tampa. This is Radioactivity. Let's go to Bob and Lutz. Bob, you're on.
Hey, Rob. Great show as always. And Daryl hit it on the head. I mean, you know who wants war in Iran is the military-industrial complex, Israel, Saudi Arabia. And Israel and Saudi Arabia both have their talons into President Trump deeply, and Jared Kushner, as has been evidenced by a number of interactions between them. And, you know, if anyone's ever seen that movie, Wag the Dog, they know what's coming next. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're all wrong. But Trump desperately needs a distraction. And nothing like a war to start that rally around the flag effect. He'll get about a 10% spike if the numbers bear out as they normally do in his popularity for being a war president, as W like to call himself. And I hope it doesn't happen, but gosh, it sure sounds like it's possible. And, you know, you look at the reasoning that they give for why they're going over there. I'm sorry, but Iran is not insane. They're more like America than anyone else in the Middle East, and they're not plotting on attacking us any more than anyone else would who was not insane. You know, they know we have nuclear weapons. They don't. Our armies are on either side of their country. It's I watched the American people sit on their hands when the fake war in Iraq started. I hope this time they stand up and say no.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks. Thank you. And let's go to Jason in Riverview. Jason, what are your thoughts?
Hey, Rob, how you doing, bud?
Good.
First off, I'm against all these wars over here. I think they're pointless. You know, they always revolve around money or somebody else's religion agenda. And I'd like to point out, how could we care so much about the Iran citizens and at the same time we're turning away people at the border? It's all humanitarian. You know, it's lives, and we're going to say those over there matter more than these here. So, you know, it's about something else. And maybe you can help me out with this, but I might be wrong. Is Iran one of the last countries that hasn't converted over to the world banking system?
I do not know. I do not know. Okay. I know their currency's in trouble, though, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, that was one of my things, because your last caller, he did mention Israel and the other surrounding countries. And I think North Korea, Iran, and maybe one more are the last to hold out on the world banking system. And I think that might have a lot to do with the war and Trump being in people's pockets over there. And it always comes down to money, in my opinion. I don't think you can not care about immigrants coming out of Mexico and South America or wherever down there and care about these people over there enough to go start a war. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and wars cost a lot of money. So if you're worried about the impact on the economy of undocumented immigrants, think about the impact on the economy of the war in Iran, exactly. Where you have to borrow money to go to war.
The war dogs will be the ones to profit from it, like always.
Yeah, the private contractors. Jason, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Let's go to Kurt in Lakeland. Kurt, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I'd like to remind WMNS listeners that you have a great show lined up on HD32, Jimmy Dore.
Oh, yeah.
And he makes a point with Tulsi Gabbard in an interview that most recent presidents, they want to have a war behind their name, and that Trump, with his ego, is no exception to that. And the previous caller mentioned Venezuela. It just seems like there is a lot of tail wagging going on. But I think in the overall strategy of things, what, from a Fox News proposal, is it makes Americans feel really insecure. The border is insecure. Venezuela is insecure. Iran's insecure. We got to do something. You got to stand behind the strong man. And so I always, again, Jimmy Dore will enlighten folks. Please check out that show. And again, thanks for having a great lineup, Rob.
All right, Kurt, thanks a lot. Kurt, do you think we should bring Jimmy Dore to our main channel?
Oh, you know, I fell in love with Jimmy Dore. I started listening to his podcast, so I'm saying yes.
Okay. All right. Kurt, thanks a lot. I think the Jimmy Dore show is one of the best things we have on HD3, and it's on Monday mornings. I think it's on at 10 a.m., and then it's also on Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. But Jimmy Dore is a comedian, but he is a fierce critic of U.S. foreign and domestic policy, too, at the same time. HD3, you can listen to it by just going to WMNF.org online and do /listen and look for HD3 there. Let's go to Les in Brooksville. Hi, Les. You're on MNF.
Hey, great, Rob. Welcome back. I just want to start out with saying that it takes a village, and I'm very proud to be a villager. I mean it. I sweated this for a while, and I'm just glad it turned out for all of us. So it's wonderful. Thank you.
All right.
Regarding Donald Trump, I think that anybody who doesn't see the parallels between this man and Adolf Hitler needs to study history. I'm very afraid. I see this incredible parallel. And your caller that said it's all about the money is very correct. The fact that our world, our actual planet, is in distress is because of money and greed. And that is the problem that we have. And it's always been this way. In the last 100 years, we have destroyed this planet. All for the almighty dollar, for the here and now. Nobody thinks about tomorrow. And regarding Donald Trump, he is brainwashing these people. It's clear, you know, I listened to the interviews a few minutes ago, and it just astounding to me that he has that kind of following. And you look at Adolf Hitler in the 1930s and what he did, the nationalism, the white supremacy, the treatment of other people of other races. It's all coming to fruition, man, and it scares me. And I appreciate you, and I love your show, and I'm so glad you're back.
All right, Les, thanks a lot. Thanks for being part of the village. I think I owe you a beer. Let's go to Deborah and Lutz. Deborah, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Great show. I'm a retired military officer, served in the Vietnam War, Desert Storm, and a bunch of other stuff. And here's another thing that I hope the American people will think about on this whole thing, and that is our VA is bursting at the seams now. So if we go to war, add more wars to the agenda, first thing you're going to hear is the Trumpers and the profiteers singing songs of joy because they're going to push this thing through to privatize our VA. And what I hope people will think about is that it is absolutely immoral for anybody to make profit from our wounds. I mean, that's just a ridiculous thought, but ridiculous is kind of the term that you want to use when you're talking about Trump. So I thank you for your time, and I'll get off and let others make comments.
Deborah, thanks a lot. And we didn't really plan when we started the wars in Iraq and when we started the war in Afghanistan, we didn't really plan for the number of service people that would be sent over there on missions. And the military doctors and medical personnel do a better job these days. More people are surviving injuries in war than ever before. So, you know, we've got a huge number of people going to war and then a huge number of people coming back wounded or injured in some other way, and we've got to take care of them.
That's true, and I do appreciate you saying that. You know, if it were up to me, I would say you can't go to war unless you adequately funded the VA. That has never been done. They did separate it from the Department of Defense years ago, because the Department of Defense used to cannibalize the budget for the VA. So there's always been those issues. And I think if you talk to most veterans, we love our VA. Absolutely love it, because it's tailored to our needs. We don't have the same needs. There are things that are very unique to our service that you're not going to find in the private sector as far as treatment. Now, is there room for improvement? Absolutely. But most of it has to do with funding our VA so that it is adequately supported. But I just hope that your listeners take this into consideration, that nobody should profit from the wounds of disabled veterans. And, you know, that's just unconscionable to me. But this whole idea of privatization of the VA, I'm against for that reason. But thanks for your time.
All right, Deborah, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. Kevin writes this: it's looking like everything is on the table when it comes to Trump's reelection campaign, trade wars, war on the environment, war with Iran, fealty to Lord Putin, and not acknowledging the Russian interference in the 2016 election, writes Kevin. And then Ed writes this: the aircraft carrier Lincoln is not without the task force that accompanies it. We all have the ingredients of a second Gulf of Tonkin incident occurring in either the Persian Gulf or the Gulf of Oman. Saber rattling can lead to all-out war with just one human error, writes Ed in Largo. Ed, thank you for that. And here's an email from Bubba. He says, Trump is a longtime liar and con man. The New York Times story showed his pump and dump stock schemes. Eventually, investors no longer fell for it. It's sad that so many fools fell for Trump's con. Are we a country of Marx? Writes Bubba. Yeah, that's part of the New York Times story. Very interesting that Trump would claim that he's about to buy a company and he would buy some shares in the stock. The stock would go up, and then he would dump the shares and make a killing because people thought that he was going to invest more, and he never invested more. Very clever, eh? Let's go to John, who's in Tampa. John, you're on.
Hi, Rob. My brother had an experience about 25 years ago in business. Now, be careful to filter out the type of equipment and whatnot. But his company supplied a lot of equipment to one of Trump's buildings. And Trump owed him still $80,000. And it was a relatively small company. And what happened was he was holding the money. And he said, and my brother fought back, and he met with, in a very Trumpian way, he met with Trump's representative, who was holding him holding this $80,000 hostage. And, Trump's man said, you're not getting that $80,000. And my brother said, yes, I am, because I have an inspector in my pocket. I say he fought back in a very Trumpian way. It's not right that he had an inspector in his pocket. He said, you're not getting this equipment until I get my $80,000. And he got the $80,000. And that's the end of the story.
And that's the way you got to stand up to Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way you handle Trump. All right, John, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.
He's one of the few winners, I take it, right? Yeah. DeMarco writes this, Bolton is a dog of war, writes DeMarco. And DeMarco goes on to say, either there will be a war with Iran or with Venezuela, or maybe both. War would perfectly distract from his guilt for all the crimes he has committed, writes DeMarco. That's a part of his email. And Let's see. Dave writes this: if you keep playing quotes from the 45 supporters about what they heard on Hannity, I'm going to have to shoot my car radio, writes Dave. No, I think that's all part of the discussion. Dave, thanks for your email. If you want to comment about today's show, call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for NOLA. He's back on the Midpoint program. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks to Frank Knox. This is 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa-St. Petersburg. The news is next, and then NOLA LaLaye with Midpoint right after that.